By sensory experience, I mean talking about things in terms of talking about inner experience in terms of what someone sees, what someone hears, what someone feels, what someone tastes and smells when they're, let's say, caught in their Enneagram pattern versus when they're out of it, when they're beyond it and accessing the high side. So there's usually quite a contrast. And we were talking about, you said you're style number four. With fours, there's usually some sensory considerations that are typical that go along with the problematic part of the pattern. Sometimes a person will be internally focused rather than and internally aware of feelings rather than externally aware of their surroundings and what they see outside of themselves and what they hear and what they feel. There's also a tendency towards a kind of synesthesia where all your senses kind of run together, like you see something and then you hear music and then you get a feeling and then from the feeling maybe there's another sound and maybe there's something else that you see, pictures and maybe tastes and smells. It can be really sensory rich sometimes. And that sometimes is a factor in someone's experience of their foreness. And then also there's a kind of quality to how you might see something if you were, let's say, for example, envious, which is part of the defensive aspect of being a four, you know, where you see something and you hear something and you feel something. The expression, the grass is greener on the other side, sort of refers to it. When the grass is greener on the other side, that's kind of literal. A lot of times people will see an envied alternative in their mind's eye or see somebody that they envy in their mind's eye, and they'll be in color. And they'll be moving. There'll be motion in the picture. There'll be maybe a sound or soundtrack that goes with it, a certain kind of feeling that goes with it as well. Then in addition, the envied person or the envied experience may be out of reach. It may be subjectively far from you in your subjective field. I don't know if we're talking about it, if you could think back to a time when you were envious. If you... Maybe once or twice.
Well, I understand envy is different than jealousy. Envy is wanting, I sort of associate it with the quality of longing too, and this sense of I could never have that, whatever that experience or person would be. And, you know, for example, the capacity, I mean, this is more the ability to have a relationship, an intimate relationship, and still have myself. And, you know, there's this sense that that is completely out of reach, that I either have one or the other. And
okay, so you
internally,
just, excuse me.
Yep.
You just said out of reach.
Yes.
That's kind of one of the things I'm talking about, which is it's far from you. The picture of a relationship would be literally out of reach. Okay, sorry, go on.
No, that's good. And I guess I don't know if this would be characterized as envy, but it's like this sense that there are people in the world who have that, but or this vague sense of it, you know, or I might see it in a film or read about it in a book or even project it onto two people I see who I don't even know, you know, and sort of run a story about how they have that, and so that would be.
So the claim would, the claim would be that there would be a quality to the projection that would make it look especially attractive, even though it's also far from you and out of reach, and that then there would be a story, which is to say, talking to yourself, that would be support and kind of codify the picture. Do you know what they look like?
Codify that. the people?
No, I mean, if you see a picture of the people, what do they look like? Do they have any particular quality? Are they in color or black and white?
Usually I would say color, and they could be people I actually see, like in a cafe, you know, but there's a sense around them that they're not quite real, you know, like they're at a distance.
Right.
Even they could even be sitting right next to me, but there's, in fact, I had this happen the other day, and there's this odd sort of belief that, or way of keeping it at a distance so I can long for it, you know, not quite have it.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you brought it closer, for example, what would happen?
It would spoil it. It would be too, it would have the reality and the flaws of reality.
Yeah. So the flaws of real people, sort of.
Yeah. And it's almost like the picture has more dimensions than the three dimensions of reality, you know, because I can put all these feeling sensations around it and the longing and the sense of it being out of reach. And when it's right there, it's like taking the wind out of the sails or deflating the balloon, you know, it's like the energy's gone. That's my perception, you know.
I worked with a man one time who said that he'd have a relationship a year, and he would fall in love with the person, and then as their flaws kind of poked through and the reality of day-to-day living poked through, then he would actually, you know, kind of lose interest and look for someone else. And as we explored it, one of the things he said was, when I see the person at a distance and at a distance in an idealized kind of way, they're a statue. They're actually not moving. And, you know, sort of frozen, and they have this kind of loving, benign look in their eyes as they look at me. And then when I get closer to the real person, of course, the real person's moving, and they're nothing like the statue.
Yeah. I can relate to that. So how do you use NLP techniques? How would you use that to work with that part?
Well, we might start exploring, like we're talking right now, to kind of open things up and get the person aware that it's something that they're doing to themselves, and that it's something that they have an unconscious sort of benefit from. And maybe sometimes track it back into their history. You know, sometimes people start to make connections, kind of connect the dots to a present way they're expressing the low side of their Enneagram style, or when they get caught in it, to defenses that they acquired earlier in life. Sometimes I'll ask the question, well, what would be three good reasons to keep this? You know, keep things as they are. And the person will start to think, well, you know, it does in some odd way kind of protect me or comfort me or, keep people at a distance that I want to avoid or things like that, you know. And so there'll be an exploration sometimes of the secondary gains of maintaining someone's Enneagram trance, so to speak. That's kind of what I call it. And in doing that, then the person begins to explore, well, what might be other better ways to comfort themselves or protect themselves, or there might be some emotion that comes up that needs to be dealt with and acknowledged, or there might be something else, some other sort of benefit that the person's attached to. And all of these things are kind of grist for the mill. And then there's sort of a variety of techniques for getting strengths that you have in other contexts kind of together with your Enneagram part, so to speak, and kind of affecting your generic experience, sensory experience of the low side of your style, and kind of bringing your resources together, having your strengths affect your what you might consider weaknesses, or having the present sort of teach the past in some ways.
Mm-hmm. So are you using NLP techniques to do this then with people?
Yeah, I do in my work. I do a lot of coaching and a lot of training, and I train people on how to do these things and then also use them in my coaching.
Right. So with the example I just gave you, what technique might you use with me to have me, I mean, just the questioning that we did helped sort of untie the knot a little bit. Was that part of it?
Well, it starts to unravel it. The other factor in it is motivation. How much the person is upset or how much they're suffering or how, in the case of four, sometimes people will start to get bored because their fantasies always end the same way and they're always similar, and then they find reality is actually always changing. And so that becomes a lot more interesting sometimes.